reminisce or reflect on 30 years in 30 minutes. So we've already lost the first 4 minutes. So anyway, we'll try and wind up at the appointed hour, which is 9:30. Well, let us just tell you a little bit about our coming here the first time in 1962. It happened that we were on our way to the World's Fair in Seattle. We had no intention of coming to Holden Village at that point. But we came by way of San Francisco, met our daughter who was in graduate school, medical school at Stanford, and it turned out that her best friend was also there, and she and her husband had spent 2 months of their honeymoon up at Holden Village cleaning up the place here in 1962. And she said, well, if you're going to Seattle, you just must go to Holden Village. And so they made arrangements, and we came in to Holden Village then in 1962, cut our stay short at the World's Fair, and came up here instead. We intended 4 days. Well, I took a walk through everything around the village here, and then at the end of that they wanted to talk to us for another day, so we stayed an extra day, and in that day we discussed certain things that might happen, and I expressed my interest in all of the records that had been left behind by the mining company. And that led to the discussion about what's going to happen to them. Well, I raised that question, and they said, well, how about you being the chairman of the committee? You know what happens in church when you suggest something like this. So they suggested that we come back the next summer. Well, that we hadn't even thought about. But we gave that thought and decided to come back, and we brought our whole family, and we spent the summer up here. And as a result, we collected records from the mine and all of the buildings around and tried to get them put together in some place. We stored them in the potato room over here under the hotel. It was the only space we could find that was available, and we shared that with a few small animals. But, you know, it was still out of the rain, and that was a good place to start. So that's kind of how it got started. We got here in 62, we decided to come back. 63, we got hooked, and we've been coming for 30 years. So this is the wind down of this 30-year period. It's hard to know what to talk about in a few minutes in terms of reflections over a 30-year period. Many things have happened, and Doris and I have shared those over the years, and our family has sort of grown up here, and so we feel this place is a very home place to us in many ways. We've had many family gatherings and come here at Christmas time, and we had 4 wonderful Christmases with the entire family here. So that's a reflection that we will never forget. And I'll never forget the first ride up the hill to Holden Village. This was before you were transported by bus. We came up in the truck, and Doris got to ride in the cab, and I rode in the back. So I had a good view all the way up. And that was a memorable ride, and I'll never forget that. But many, many things come to mind that we might talk about. And I would like for you to participate in this as well. So let us sort of highlight a few things. Then you raise any question you would like for us to just talk a little about, in case you would like to know something more than you have learned up to this point. But one of the things that really impressed me to start out with was the fact that here was a here was a village that was literally in ruins, and there was just work to be done, just more than you can imagine. And what I was really impressed by was the fact that there were the three major synods were represented here and willing to work together at this task. Now, this is the first time I had ever experienced this relationship between the LCA, the ALC, and the Missouri Synod. Here we were, working together. And we did that, you know, for years with wonderful results. And of course, the three synods were represented on the board. There is no official attachment to the major church bodies, but the fact that the representatives from each of the major groups took part was a very important thing. And I expressed on that fifth day we were here, and in 1962, that this looked to me like something worth pushing and worth staying with. And that's been our commitment from that time until this. And it has worked wonders. The three synods have worked together, and now the additional church bodies and so on. So it's been a time when we got together and worked side by side. I think one of the low periods that I remember, and I just reflect on this, that when it came time, came Sunday, time to worship the Eucharist, then the three groups could not come together. And this was sad, you know, and it was really a disappointment, because what happened was, and the worst that you can imagine, the three groups got together and had three separate communion services. Now that to me was the bottom of the barrel. Fortunately, the people that insisted on that have moved on. And now, you know, we worship together, and we recognize that our Eucharist is God's table, not ALC, LCA, or Missouri, or what else, you know. And recognizing that, that's a reflection that sticks very vividly in my mind. And that kind of coming together has really meant a lot over the years that has happened. Now, I think you could not transport Holden Village to any place else. This is a community that's unique, and it's a very creative community. And you could see that in tonight's Vespers. You know, if you're here a week, a month, a year, you know, you'll see creative things going on. You may not agree with all that goes on, but you can see there's new creativity that's going on. And, you know, this is an encouraging thing as far as I'm concerned, and it's very, very wholesome to see that this sort of thing does go on. This is a place that can do things that no single congregation can do. You know, we come together here with people who come from various universities and places and volunteer. And so we get people here that you could not get at a local congregation. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for people to come together from different churches and then take things back to their own congregations from here. And that kind of thing has gone on for ever since Holden Village started. And it was a very unique kind of spirit that developed. And I think, you know, just coming into this valley forces, in many ways, a community. The first thing you do when you get here is drop your title. You're on a first name basis. And at Holden Village, you're simply children of God. And you're not some professor, some doctor, some theologian, whatever. You are a person. and people become very friendly. And when you drop your mask, it's amazing what kind of a community you can develop. And this sort of thing has gone on and on from the very beginning of Holden Village, and I'm just happy to say that that has been the case. Now, just, you know, you might think about that. You may want to ask questions about it. But to pick up on maybe some of the other things that come to mind, and obviously we're not going to cover 30 years and 30 minutes here, but one of the things that has been one of the staunch things at Holden Village has been music. We've had wonderful music over the years at different times, ups and downs, you know, not always good. We've had very lean years, and I think this summer has been a lean summer as far as we're concerned in terms of music and in terms of the arts. We just have not had real good representation as we have often had, but it'll come back, and I'm sure that if you people want it back, it'll be back, and that's a very important kind of thing. We don't sing much anymore. There is less Holden holy hilarity than there used to be in the past. Some of you who are older and have been here many times know what I speak of, you know. And the Holden hilarity was always a joyous kind of thing. And that spirit has permeated the community for years. And at times it kind of drops down. And the only way it ever comes back is when the people who are here express their opinion about it, and that it's something that ought to happen. This ought to be a joyous place, always. There should be lots of humor, lots of fun, lots of worship, and all of that, and it can all go together, and it has over the years. And I think by and large, that really has been the spirit of Holden from the very beginning. And I hope it comes back stronger, you know, in the years to come. Other things have happened. You know, when the groups began to come and we began to develop a program, one of the things that really needed attention was the children. You know, many things in the program for the adults, but not so many things for the children. And that's when the idea of Narnia was conceived. And Doris here, she is the person who really started Narnia. And do you want to say anything about it?
Well, we didn't call it Narnia in those days. We just called it the children's program and concentrated on learning about God's world and nature and experience. There's no place that I know of where children can experience science the way they can experience it here. And connecting that with God's creation, it's exciting. It was exciting to me as an adult to be teaching children about God's creation, and to observe the little animals and find their homes, and then translate that into art, into games, and children's understanding. Of course, you didn't mention when we first came here the mess it was in, and my big job was washing windows for all summer long with newspapers because we had no cloths. But that was fun. Everything was fun. And a new experience. We got to know each other in a different way.
It's a little hard to appreciate now what the situation was in 61, 62, 63. The windows were out, for example, for most all of the building. And people had just taken delight in throwing rocks into windows where the village was abandoned, was a ghost town. And they couldn't see anything wrong in that, so they just did it. And we found lots of rocks in the middle of the floors, inside of the houses and the dormitories. And all of those windows had to be replaced, of course. And everything washed. The plumbing was all out. No plumbing. No hot water. No water. You know, just forget the hot water. But to begin with, we were just lucky if the faucet would drip, you know. And then finally we got the pressure on, and finally we got water. And then gradually we got the hydro plant, and that was a volunteer effort, and got that dedicated, non-stream. Then we began to get hot water. Well, then you see this from one thing to the other. One of the biggest problems was cleaning up the kitchen and cleaning up the dining hall so that it was fit to serve food, you know. It was just really a mess. It had been sitting from 1957 until 1961, 62, 63, and everything was left, you know, in a very dirty condition, and it just had to, everything had to be scrubbed and cleaned up. Now it's spick and span. You can hardly appreciate what it was like in those early days. Also, you know, no beds. The beds that were left were the beds that the miners slept in, and the mattresses, they simply left those. And what we did in the early years was to bring our bedrolls and to put them out on a mattress, and that's the way we got by for the first summer, two, three summers. No electricity after 10 o'clock at night. You know, we rationed our electricity so that we had lights after we got the hydro in, but, you know, still, things, 10 o'clock, the lights went out. And if you wanted to see, you brought your own Coleman lantern, you know, and we just lived as you would in a camp. And so that kind of thing went on until finally a lady came along who had an inheritance, and she got very much interested in the problem that we had in housing people, and she bought mattresses. I have no idea how much money she spent on mattresses that we now enjoy, you know, and that kind of thing. The spirit of giving to this place has just evolved, and people have gotten interested, they've taken on a project, and they've done something with it, you see, and so this kind of creativity has continued, and people have been very generous. And so we have been able to, you know, I've been on the board for a number of years. I'm now off. But during those years, one of our major concerns was to keep the costs down, you know, to keep the costs to where the families could come and enjoy this place. Because it's expensive to get here, and we didn't want to tack on top of that any more expense than we had to within the village itself. Let me just tell you about one of the things that I remember about the kitchen and the food. You know, the food is always a good topic. We can spend the whole rest of the time talking about food. But, you know, at one point we had a gourmet chef from, I think he was from Norway. And he came here, and of course he had gourmet ideas. And we brought in cream and butter by the ton, I think. And wonderful things, Steve. Almost broke the village. And now, of course, I think we're still paying for it, you know, in that sense. But we're living simply, and this kind of thing, you know, had its time, and it's passed on, and so now we're back to a very different kind of food situation, and you know, we're saving money, we're keeping people able to come, and this is, we think, an important thing to be considered. So, things like that. Do you have a particular subject you would like for us to address? Anybody have a particular thing that you would like for us to reflect on? We might tell you about the development of the facilities here. You know, that's been a major task. The cleanup, when the mine closed and the mining company left, there was a period where the mining company let a contract to a salvage firm that could come in and take anything that the mining company had left behind. And that contract was entered into in 1959. And you see, the gift came from the House Sound Mining Company in 1960 and finally was final in 1961, so that this salvage crew and the Lutherans were coming in at the same time at cross purposes. One was tearing everything out, the other was trying to put it together, you see. And so, fortunately, that contract with the company expired, and our gift continued on. And I think the thing you have difficulty really understanding, and I do, is the magnitude of this gift. You know, the gift is not only the building, but the ore body itself, in a sense, which is still has potential back in the mountain. And the gift was made so that we hold the mineral interests, and we hold control, you see, within the area. If there is to be mining, it's to be the decision of the Holden Board Incorporated. And this is a magnificent thing that we inherit. We paid nothing for this, and of course,
Westbream, don't forget.
Yes, well, you can't forget the connections, see, because people make these things happen. Wes Preeb began to write letters, and finally those letters hit the right desk, and he got a long distance call and wanted them to return it, and this started a dialogue which led to the gift finally, which came through the Lutheran Bible Institute. And then when they elected not to really be a part of this total program, from the program point of view, they decided that they would keep a half interest in the mineral rights, you see, in terms of what was left in the mountain area where the patented mineral leases are. So in a sense, they are our partners. But they're sort of a silent partner, because this is a legal arrangement, and they are not directly involved in the program itself here. But nevertheless, you see, that's the way it came. And it came because Westbreed was associated with LBI at that time, and that's where it was channeled and finally came then as a gift to the board, which was formed by putting all of the Lutherans together, you see, into a board.
He was the one who gave the Vespers last night, if they don't know who he is.
Yeah, in case he was not introduced last night, but he's the person that had the Vespers, you know, so that you know. Westbreed, he's in the pool hall. And a great person to remember in the connection with all of this. He came here 2 years earlier than, in 1960, you see. That's 2 years earlier than when we were here, you know. And so he's been involved in various ways since that time. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm not a Lutheran. And I'd be interested in knowing about some of the other people that helped to put that early program to together and started building it into this kind of world class.
Yeah, it's a good question because, you know, one of the important things we must always remember is that we are on public land. And if you ever had to show your Lutheran credentials to get into this place, we're in trouble with the government, you see. So we have purposely had other people, you know, other denominations and non-Lutherans, non-church people even. And well, let me just cite one person who made a very major contribution in terms of the shaping of this village, and that was Roland Bainton. Roland Bainton, a famous Lutheran scholar who wrote Here I Stand, a Yale professor of great stature, came here, volunteered his time, worked, you know, as a volunteer.
Paid his own way to get here.
Yeah, this sort of thing. And he's non-Lutheran, you see. And Rosemary Ruther, a Catholic theologian, was here. And so we have made it a point over the years to have a diversity of people represented in the program of the village and on the board. It's important that that we can show the government, you know, that this is not strictly Lutheran. It is a Christian retreat center that the Lutherans happen to run, and they run it for everybody, so that everybody is welcome, and that's an important facet.
We had a little Jewish girl was on our she came to work as a
Jewish family. There have been a number of Jewish families that have been here. So it's been ecumenical. Does that answer your question? Anybody else have a question?
What happened to the miners' homes?
What happened what?
To the miners' homes.
What happened to the miners' homes? The homes about a half a mile up the road here called Winston Camp. In 1962, when we came here, the houses were still there. But the roofs were all caved in by the snow that had impacted, and there was nobody there to clean them off, so the snow just crushed the houses. And by 1963, the forest people whose land it's on said that this is a hazardous kind of situation, and it's obvious that the home should be removed. So we then had to do the removal because it was our gift, you see. We had received that as part of our gift. And when the forest people said, it's time to get rid of them, it's time to get rid of them. And so we bulldozed them down, we piled the lumber, and when the snow was on, there was a good chance to burn it and without burning the forest. And so that's what happened to the houses. And by 1964 and 65, everything had been cleaned up and the forest had started to grow back again, you see. And that was the intent within the forest. So that was a very important thing. I might tell you about another incident where the forest people were directly involved. And that was down at the end of the valley at Lucerne. You know, you all come in the boat dock down there in Lucerne. And at Lucerne, in the days when the mine was running, there was a resort. There were cottages there. And there was a big recreation hall. And there was a schoolhouse. And we must forget, there was a tavern. Now, all of that was given when the mine closed, you see, the resort keeper fell on hard times and finally decided to make that as a gift to the Lutherans, to Holden Village. And when that happened, we took over down there. We sold gasoline. But you may not want to tell your churches at home, we ran the tavern. That was a Lutheran tavern. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. In those days, you didn't have to go to Stehekin to get a hamburger and a beer. See, you could come, you could go to Lucerne. Well, that only lasted a very short time. And the forest people decided they really didn't need us down there. And they didn't want that association, so that we were controlling too much of the valley. And they decided that they wouldn't grant us a lease, so we didn't have a permit to continue operation. And at that point, they said it's time to get rid of all of the building. So we took down all of the buildings, and the one that bothered me most was the fact that we were going to have our museum in the schoolhouse down at Lucerne. That was before we decided to build the museum up here. And so this was in the mid-70s. And that became a very critical issue. So we had to take down the schoolhouse, and we salvaged what lumber we could, but that was the end of the museum. At that point, all of the things that I had collected over the years were simply in storage in the attic apartment of the hotel. And so the artifacts and things that you see in the museum today were sort of put on hold. And we had them up in the attic in the hotel. And then finally the board decided, and again this was partly as a result of the fact that the Science and Technology Committee of the village here backed the idea of creating a museum. And that, of course, was the thing that I was most concerned with. And in 1981, they approved that. In 1983, we dedicated it. Now, I know we're essentially out of time, and I promised that we would end this after 30 minutes. Let me just hear what you have, and then I'm going to...
This is an easy one.
Okay.
Why isn't Olden Village on the National Registry of Historic Landmarks?
Anybody want to answer that?
It's been kept in its original village form, right?
I think it is, actually. I'd have to check that. We've been working on it. And I think it's a matter of record now that we are.
Before you quit, Rudy, could we just say, what if you had one wish for the future of Holden? Think a minute. What do you think it would be? We'll close with that, all right?
All right. Well, I think I could very easily respond to that. My feeling is that things are going at this point very well. We have a good school. We have a good program for children. We have a good program for teenagers. We have a good program for adults. We have a good worship program. And I fortunately feel that we have a good museum that's now out of my hands. I'm an emeritus, and we have a good leader for that. And my wish would be that you people who come become owners, you know, in quotes, of Holden Village, that you see that what has happened in the last 30 years continues to happen in the next 30 years. And the thing I would want to say at this point in closing is that as a family, our family, we are indeed grateful to Holden Village for the opportunity we have had to serve here in the last 30 years. We really don't intend that we will probably be back at this point. We want to turn it over to the people who are here, and we think that this tradition that is well established should go on. You know, we have a wonderful church relationship and a good program, and let's keep it going. Thank you.
All right. Evening, we'd like to have go on and on and on. It's going to go on for a little bit. Rudy, we'd like you to help Doris in. Can you make a little path here? And we're going to all follow them into the creek room and just say a little more if anybody's got any personal comments. But it's our way of saying thank you for an awfully good evening and awfully good stay here at Bowles.